Welcome to another episode of Feral and Fabulous. I am so excited to introduce our guest today. We have the most fabulous John Totten, who is the team leader with Keller Williams Legacy, our fearless leader. And I definitely not only love having him as a team leader, but I also love that he is my next door neighbor at the office. So we have offices right next to each other. And so we've kind of gotten to know each other through osmosis a little bit, you know, just kind of, you know, chatting and being in offices so close by. It's really been fun to kind of watch him and see him at his best game, if you will. And I'm so curious because one of the things that I've learned about you is that you're not from Texas. So you actually are a bit of a transplant. How did that come to be? How did you end up in Texas and also San Antonio?
I am a transplant. Born and raised New Jersey.
New Jersey. Love it. New Jersey Shores.
Yeah. But don't judge me by the show.
I won't. I know better.
Yep. So born and raised in New Jersey and was there for 20 years. Moved here in 2006.
Okay.
Yep. And the reason that I moved here, we got married at a young age, had our son at a young age.
Cool.
And my parents were divorced when I was about five.
Okay.
And my dad had bounced around from Texas, Arizona, different spots, landed in San Antonio. We came out to come visit. Loved it, completely different from back east. And we figured we're young enough, so we might as well make the move now.
Yeah.
You know, while we have the time and we're young.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, very cool. Very cool. I did, honestly, I knew that you were not from here, but I didn't realize that you'd been here that long. So you actually have been here quite a while. So you're Texanized.
Going on 20 years, yeah.
No, that's mm-hmm. amazing. Okay. So when you first got here, you know, I'm curious, like what path led you into real estate? So I assume when you moved to Texas, you were not doing real estate at that time.
I was not doing real estate, but I was doing mortgages.
Oh, you were doing mortgages. Right. Okay. So you were kind of in a related field.
Correct. Okay. Yeah. So
cool.
Let me flashback real quick.
Yeah.
I moved to Arizona. The plan was to go to ASU, play baseball.
I did not know that either. You played baseball. Okay.
Very cool. Yeah, big baseball, football, basketball, but baseball is my main sport.
Okay.
And moved down there to go to ASU, play baseball. That was the plan.
Okay.
And my wife got pregnant, my wife now.
Okay.
And had to move back east.
Okay. Right? Oh.
But during that time in Arizona, I waited tables and waited on a few different loan officers. And they said, you'd be really good at this. So, you know, having to support a family at the age of 19, I had to jump into something right away. And I was always in sales, you know, throughout high school, whether selling pocket knives at fifth grade.
Yes.
Right.
And pocket knives. I love that. Another branch of Cutco.
Yep. So that's what led me into the mortgage world. Just I had to grow up quick, essentially.
Yeah.
Right. So got my license there, worked during the subprime days, which was just crazy as a 19-year-old kid, and moved down here at 19 with GMAC Mortgage.
Okay.
Did that for...
I remember GMAC. Okay.
Yeah, they're in the Frost Bank building, Thousand Oaks and 281.
Oh, wow. That is a blast from the past. Okay. Very mm-hmm. cool. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
And then 08 came and everything collapsed.
Oh, yeah. I remember that all too well.
Yep.
Okay.
You and me both.
Yeah.
And that's when I got my real estate license in 08.
Okay. Gotcha. So was the collapse kind of what instigated your kind of shift into getting your real estate license? Or was it just the timing would have happened anyway, it sounds like?
It would have happened anyways.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Okay.
I worked with enough realtors on the lending side that I liked that aspect of the business better.
Yeah.
Right? I didn't want to be stuck behind a desk, wanted to be out and about, you know, relationships, things like that.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. But you did participate a little bit. Again, excuse me, my voice is just, it's a mess today. But one of the things I'm curious about is when you were a loan officer, did you actually go through any of the challenges of 2008? In other words, you lived through that or were you already transitioning into being an agent at that point?
I was already transitioning
okay.
to being an agent
okay.
at that point. So I felt it on the agent side.
You felt it on the agent side. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I honestly still have a little PTSD from 2008 mm-hmm. because I actually, because my team has been with me for so long. Matt, it was actually probably back in the day, you would remember some of what was going on in 2008. But I had a transaction that was literally, it was over a holiday weekend. And we were closing on the Friday, and I can't remember what the holiday was on Monday. I just remember it was a national holiday. Everything was going to be closed. So we were super excited to get that in under the wire, and we were supposed to close and fund on Friday. And literally, we closed. Everybody went and closed, but we didn't get the chance. It didn't work out to where it funded. And so we're like, no problem. You know, we didn't get it done. We're going to end up waiting until Monday. No, we couldn't do it Monday because it was a holiday. We were going to fund it on Tuesday. So it's like, no problem. And so in the meantime, we thought, no big deal. Tuesday came along, and this is again in 2008, the mortgage company went under between Friday and when things opened back up on Tuesday. It didn't fund. So we literally, I'm still friendly with the clients that, thank God, we still have a good relationship, but it was awful. We had to literally start all over again because that mortgage was not fundable on Tuesday. So anyway, just crazy. So I'm glad to hear that at least you had transitioned at that point, because I think that for any mortgage officers in 2008, 2009, I mean, that was some brutal times. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. So getting into the real estate thing, obviously, so you got your license and you were licensed in 2008?
Correct.
Okay. So then how did you go from getting your license to ending up being the team leader at our office at Keller Williams Legacy?
That's a good story.
Yeah, I want to hear that because I honestly don't know the story.
Okay. So in 2008, I started off with a realty executive's office.
Okay.
Adam Smith was the broker.
Yeah, yep, I know.
He's now a home builder.
Absolutely. Yes. Yep. No, Adam. Yeah. Yep.
And me and Adam clicked. We were similar age. He was maybe a little older, but I was 20 years old or 21 at the time.
Yeah.
Right. And they were, you ever see the movie Boiler Room?
Yes.
With the stocks and all that?
Yes.
So that's how that office was. And that's what I was used to back east doing the loans.
Yeah.
So that clicked with my personality.
Okay.
And we were just rummaging through expired listings, canceled listings, for sale by owners.
Yeah.
And I think within the first 6 months, I racked up 12, 15 listings, something like
that.
Wow. Just all expired for sale by owners, knocking doors.
Right off the bat, that's an incredible story.
Yeah. But a lot of them didn't sell, you know, during that time.
Oh, I do remember those days.
Yeah, it was a little challenging, but still had some success.
Okay.
And that was in 08. And then Adam was switching brokerages to a kind of a mom and pop type shop.
Okay.
And that's when I got a call from Steven. I had played basketball with an agent that worked here at KW Legacy, and he had given my name to Steven. Steven called me, met with Steven, didn't interview any other brokers.
Steven, why would you?
Exactly.
I mean, Steven's awesome.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Steven Gregg, our fearless leader at the helm as our broker. So very cool.
Phenomenal. They don't make him any better than Steven.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
Yeah.
So came here in 08 and started off as a solo agent. And, you know, during that time it was tough. So and not knowing anyone from San Antonio, I had to build my business from scratch.
Yeah.
So continuing that path of expireds, for sale by owners, open houses, door knocking, solo agent, eventually built a small team, found out I didn't really like having a team.
There's so many things I can say about that, but yes, I understand. I get that.
So I dismantled the team and went back to being a solo agent.
Okay.
And through coaching, consulting, I found out that I really actually didn't like helping people buy or sell real estate.
Interesting. Yeah,
if there was something I was going to pick, I jived well with sellers. I'm just bottom line oriented, just no fluff, just right to it.
And just the facts, ma'am. Just cut to the chase. What's the deal? All that kind of stuff. And not so much of the, you know, the fluff, if you will.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I get it. Yeah.
So click with sellers. If I never had to show a house ever again in my life, I was a happy person.
You know who you sound like. My husband, Dave.
Well, maybe that's why we get along
exactly,
so well.
Exactly. That's why you guys are fantastic friends, because definitely he's the same way. I mean, he still works in real estate, but he definitely was on the sales side. He did the listings. He did the buyers, and he's just like, no, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just, that wasn't his cup of tea. He loves real estate, but right. he doesn't love that part of it. So I get where you're coming from on that.
Right, right. So I was at KW Legacy from 2008 to 18, so 10 years. Wow. I've been solo agent, small team, back to solo agent. Through coaching, consulting, found out didn't like helping people buy and sell. But I love the back end piece of it where, you know, give me an expired listing strategy, open house strategy, yeah. Google pay-per-click, websites, you name
yes.
it.
Yes.
And let me dissect it.
How to get the let business, me... how to work the business, that
exactly.
kind of thing. I love that.
I like to take an idea, reverse engineer it, and try and make it better. So that's what I really enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So knowing that through coaching and consulting, yeah. I stepped away from Legacy in 18 and hung my license at EXP.
Okay.
And that was for about 2 years.
Okay.
And I was getting more into the strategy session, business planning, consulting phase of my life.
Sure.
And I looked at EXP as a way to open up doorways to agents all around the country.
Sure.
And while that worked, I would say within the first year I was there, one of the early adopters before EXP became known as a recruiting company.
Understand.
Right.
Yes.
So did that for 2 years and then left there. And I was hired on with Realty Austin, one of the largest independently owned firms out of Central Texas.
Okay.
Right. So they did great things up in Austin. They were expanding yeah. into San Antonio. Yeah. So I headed up the expansion into San Antonio.
Yeah. So that. You were actually up in Austin at that time.
No, I was never in Austin.
You were not there. It was just where the company was right. headed out or operated out of.
Right. Okay. They were the number one brokerage behind KW in Austin. And, you okay. know, KW owns Austin.
Absolutely.
Has for years. That's where it was born and bred.
Yeah. Yeah.
So did the expansion, never went to Austin other okay. than just meetings here and
for
there
sure.
with the corporate office.
Different things, yeah.
But expanding into San Antonio under the name Realty San Antonio.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yep.
And they Got had it. That real nice office off La Cantera.
Yeah.
Was real excited about it. They did a lot of things great. We built a great company for the first year and a half. And then things just didn't go as planned,
sure.
I would say.
Hey, life happens.
Yep. And I would say the best way I can explain it, I love the local leadership. We got along great. Austin is very different from San Antonio.
Oh, amen to that.
As we all know.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep,
for
and
sure.
I just butted heads, I would say, too much with leadership on that topic that
yeah.
we can't do what you do in Austin, San Antonio, and expect the same results.
Right. Absolutely. You have to know your market, and they are very different markets.
Yep. So yeah. one thing led to another, and, you know, I just didn't want to be at a place any longer if we're going down that same path.
Sure.
So I had conversations with a few people to get things escalated up the ladder,
sure.
if you will.
Yeah.
And it's crazy how things work. I remember it was a Friday, and I talked to a couple individuals, and that got up the ladder.
Sure.
That next Monday, I felt a cold shoulder on my stand-up call with my team.
Oh.
So I knew something was up.
Something
right?
was cooking, yeah.
And on Tuesday, and I give all the credit to God. I pray and the whole nine yards. And something just told me reach out to Stephen, right? And
wow.
and during the couple of years I was at RealTSA, they had a lot of good automated campaigns.
Yeah.
And they would go out, and Stephen would get them, and he would, in Stephen classic form, would respond sarcastically, you know, to my recruiting emails.
I love that. I mean, that's so amazing. Yes, I love me some Stephen.
And when we always stayed in touch, you know, maybe once every 6 months, a text message
sure.
or here and there.
Sure.
So something just told me, I say, God told me, just reach out to Stephen. And I text Stephen. I said, hey, Stephen, how's Legacy? And he goes, funny you should ask, because me and Joan were just talking about you. And, you know, Joan's our MCA, had been here for 20-something
yeah,
years.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I've known her for 20-something years. I've known Joan forever.
Yep. So I'm like, oh, small world. And we decided to get coffee on that Wednesday.
Yeah.
And during that, I just said, I'm not happy where I'm at. I'm going to be making some changes. I'm looking for a different role. I didn't know really what I wanted to do at
sure.
that point. I was going to stay in the consulting and strategy session.
Side of things.
I didn't want to get back into selling real estate, but could if I had to. I still had a good book of business and
sure.
referrals and you
sure.
know, that piece of it. But Stephen said, have you ever thought about the team leader position? And I didn't even know what team leader meant. So I guess
you do now.
I do now. Yeah. And it's been great. You know, I'm back home and it's phenomenal. And he said, it's what I do. I'm like, well, what do you mean? You're the broker. You're one of the owners. And
yeah, he's worn so many hats for so long.
Exactly. And that's what it was. Yeah. He just had so many hats.
Yeah.
He just needed someone to come work
with
him.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So one thing led to another. That was in August, forget the year, but we had to wait a few months for things to work itself out.
Sure.
And I officially came aboard about 3 years ago. Yeah. I've been 3 years. Wow, that's
I know,
it's crazy to think. Right? Time just flies.
I know, so true. I mean, like you said, three years as the team leader, and I love the culture here. It's so, I mean, like I said, it's just my favorite place. And of course, I go back with Stephen many, many years. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I'm so curious your take on is, I feel like obviously the personality of the office kind of is so influenced by the leadership, mm-hmm. you know, and I feel like you guys have been able to bring over so many just amazing quality agents. How do you think you've been able to keep, because so many of the agents here at the office have been here a long time. Mm-hmm. And so what do you think is the secret sauce, if you will, to not only getting those agents, but keeping those agents for so long? Because I've been a realtor since like dirt. But I mean, bottom line is, I just know it's very challenging not only to get good quality agents, but to keep them is even mm-hmm. harder. So what do you think that is?
That's a great question. And if I had to say off the cuff, it's the relationships, it's the people, it's the support,
yep.
Being your authentic self and having a space that you can actually do that.
Be that in. Yeah.
Right, right.
Exactly.
100% the support. Steven's phenomenal.
I know.
You could pick up the phone at any time, call, text, 6 a.m., 9 o'clock at night, and he's most likely going to get back to you, right?
I know.
So instead of some of the other brokerages that you have a hotline you can call into or what have you, you know, you call Steven, text me, call me.
Absolutely.
And the agents love that.
Yes, I totally agree. And especially when your hair's on fire, you know, sometimes you can't predict when your hair is going to be on fire. Mm-hmm. And sometimes your hair happens to be on fire at 8:30 on a Friday night and it can't be. Yeah, I mean, it just can't wait.
Yep. So, and I think that's what folks need the most is they just need to know that someone's in their corner.
Help when they need
got,
it.
They got their back and someone's going to answer the phone when they
need it. Yes, somebody's going to be there to help them, not keep them from jumping off the curb.
Right.
Because definitely there has this, I mean, it kind of leads me to my next question for you is that this year has been a very challenging year, even mm-hmm. for, I think, more seasoned agents. I mean, I talk to other agents all the time that it really, you know, as a throwback to what we were talking about in 2008, I feel like 2008 was an extremely, probably one of the most challenging years of mm-hmm. my career, and I think of many agents' careers that have been doing it for a long time. But I think this last year has been, it's up there. It's up there ranking with one of the more challenging years that we've had in the last 25, you know, however many years. Mm-hmm. And so I'm curious, what would you say to agents as to how best to navigate a year like this year? And be at the top of their game when the market is not necessarily, you know, going to play in your favor.
You just have to do it. Like, just like Nike says, you just have to do it.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
And, I think what it really comes down to, and I think most people get this phrase backwards where they want to get motivated first and then they want to do something and then, right. But it really comes down to you need the discipline first, where that just comes down to you just do it.
Just do it.
Right?
Hey, I'm going to do this. That's going to lead me to do that. And then once I do that, then I'm going to be ready in about 4 months' time or whatever.
Right.
It's
right.
Like, no, you need to do it now.
Right. You just need to suck it up. Do it. Just do it. And once you have that discipline, after a couple weeks, then you get a little momentum.
Yeah.
And you see things happening. Yeah. Right. And then after you get that momentum, that's when you get the motivation.
Yeah.
And it's really just getting back to the basics right now and doubling down on what you know works and doesn't.
Exactly.
Instead of spreading yourself too thin and trying five, six different
things. Too many different things to too many different people. And then I feel like you kind of lose yourself when you try and spread yourself too thin like that.
Right, right. Yeah. Just focus in on what you do best. And if that's open houses, if that's loving on your SOI and referrals, instead of going to implement something different and not knowing what kind of results you're going to get, it makes sense just to double down on what's working already.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I do feel like, you know, 2025 has pretty much been the suck it up buttercup.
Yep,
the other thing is, an old time saying that we've said forever is eat the frog. I mean, mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many times when I have to make a call to whether it's a seller or a buyer or whatever, something that has happened that is not obviously on the list of things I wanted to happen. And I feel like you have to just sometimes take a deep breath and just make the call, eat the frog,
right.
Whatever you've got to do to just get on the other side of it, because mm-hmm. it's not like a fine wine. It doesn't get better with time. Mm-hmm. When you've got a big problem looming, it's like you just have to deal with it yeah. and move on down the road.
Just nip it in the bud, get
yes.
it over with.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
And at the end of the day, everything all works out, right?
I know, absolutely. But in that moment, I right. think we all kind of go, a big gulp, you know, before mm-hmm. we have to do something like mm-hmm. that. So, well, no, super, super cool. What would you say, because this has been a challenging market, and I know we've talked a lot about, you know, other agents and roles and that kind of thing. What would you tell a buyer or seller in this market? Because it is such a different market this year. What would you say to a buyer or seller that's looking to do some business right now?
Sure. We'll start with the buyers. And if I were representing a buyer or speaking with a buyer, consulting a buyer, I would tell them now's a great time to buy. I mean, it's always a great time to buy in real estate, right? Now they have more options, right? There's more inventory, even though rates are a little bit higher, you have a lot more flexibility.
Yeah.
And I think we have all heard that term. I think it's date to rate, marry the house,
yes.
right?
Yes.
So if you love the home, then buy it. You could always refi down the road.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Just get settled
in. Get the
in.
House that you want. That's just it. I feel like sometimes people put off things and they miss the home that was really kind of perfect for mm-hmm. them, or as perfect as any house can be, because no matter how perfect the house, you're always going to find things that you
right.
want different. But I do feel like that many people, they sit on the fence so long and the house that they really wanted gets away.
Mm-hmm.
And then they find, oh, the rates dropped. And they're like, oh, but now that house that I loved is
gone.
Not coming. It's gone. And I'm not finding something that's equally as good a fit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that that can lead to a lot of frustration for buyers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So they just need to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
It's always a good time to buy in real estate.
Yeah.
Real estate always appreciates.
Yes.
So
it
makes sense,
yeah.
right? And now that they have more options, they can get a better deal. They can get seller concessions. They
yeah.
could negotiate the sales price a little bit more.
Absolutely.
So I think with buyers that, you know, it makes sense to purchase if
absolutely.
You have one of those life-changing events that warrants it.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah. No,
and then
for sure.
Flipping to the seller side,
yeah.
And I love working with sellers when I was in the business, so I could speak to this a little bit more.
Yeah.
I think it's a great time to sell.
Yeah.
Right? If you price it accordingly, if you stage it right, if you have professional photography and videography,
yeah.
professional copywritten descriptions, you do the upfront prep work right.
Yeah.
They're going to sell. They're
yeah.
still going to move. They're going to sell for asking, over asking, if you do it right. And I know this for personal experience.
Yeah.
From time to time, I will still help close friends sell property when they reach out. And I just had two of them over the last 6 months, and we sold for over asking on both of them. And they were all under contract within the first weekend.
Awesome.
Right. And that just goes to, you have to set the frame
yeah.
with sellers. You can't let them dictate and guide.
Yeah.
And you have to tell them it is what it is. I wish I can get you 450, but
yeah.
we're looking at these comps. It's 400,000, and put yourself in the buyer's shoes. Are you going to go pay 50,000
yeah.
over?
Right.
And when you can kind of paint that picture, then
right.
they get it. And then
yeah.
when you do the actual work that every realtor should be doing with the photography, the
yes.
videography, the staging,
yes.
that's what's going to move that listing. And so homes are still selling at, I would say, record paces if done right.
Yeah. If priced right.
Right.
Yeah,
yep.
if and prepped and all that kind
yep.
of stuff. So
yep.
no, I totally get you on all of that. So I'm curious to know, how big of a role do you think training takes place in? In other words, what do you feel like is the role of training, or how important do you feel like that is?
Extremely important.
Yeah.
Right. We always have to be leveling up.
Yeah.
We never stop learning.
Right.
Right. And I go to trainings all the time,
yeah.
Even when they're instructed by other people within the office.
Right.
How I look at trainings and strategy sessions, whatever
yeah.
you want to call them,
yeah.
if I could just get one nugget
yeah.
from each training or each event
yeah.
or each keynote or conference,
yeah.
it's all worth it,
yeah.
right? But then you have to take action with it,
yeah.
and what did you learn, then go implement,
yeah.
and you always have to be learning.
Yeah,
it's nonstop. I'll be training until I'm dead.
No, I totally agree with you, because things in our industry are always ever changing. And so, like you said, the nugget that you picked up yesterday could be a completely different nugget today, because things shifted in the meantime, and right. you have to always right. stay abreast of what's going on. And that's one of the many things I love about our office, is I feel like you're never lacking for a training option. I mean, there's just so many different opportunities to learn. And again, such a breadth of level of experienced agents that are doing the training that I feel like that offer. And that this is the other cool thing that I really love about our office, is I feel like the agents are so transparent. Mm. And that's something that I don't find that you really see a lot of out rare. It is rare. And so I feel like that's really the exciting thing, is to see agents that are kind of like bare it all. They kind of tell you what's behind in the sausage factory, you know, what's behind the curtain. How are we really getting things done? And they share that with agents so that they can, again, incorporate it into their own way of doing things and kind of make it their own. Right. But I just love the transparency of it. So I think that's a super cool thing.
And there's no secret sauce. It's just being consistently consistent with everything that you do.
Right.
And you do need that skill set of, you know, when you go on a listing consult or buyer consult, what do you say? What questions do you ask?
Yes.
Right. And then you craft it and tailor it to your own.
Yeah. To make it into your own words, or in a way that feels comfortable to you.
And I think all the agents, I know all the agents here at KW Legacy, they understand that.
Yeah.
And that's why they're so willing to give and share their knowledge. And I mean, you could go knock on anyone's door here and say, do you have 10, 15 minutes? Can I ask you this?
And, I know.
I mean, our mentorship program that you can go sit down with someone for an hour and dissect their business and learn, it's just phenomenal.
It is. Yeah. It is incredible. And that's been such a pleasure for me to experience personally. I love that. I love being able to sit down in somebody's office and just say, hey, you know, I've got this listing. It's a really problem. Would you help me, or, you know, to just talk it through? And so I love that camaraderie. That's super cool. So, well, tell me, I know we've talked a lot about business and all the stuff that goes into the crazy things behind real estate. What do you like to do in your spare time, like in your off-duty time?
Off-duty time.
Yeah.
That's a good question. I love to play golf.
Oh, awesome. Yep.
I play basketball, so I'm active. I'll play in a league and pick up games with friends and buddies.
Okay.
I love going out to eat. I love good food.
Me too. I'm such a foodie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. We're going to have to all go out to dinner sometime, because I'm like, and I've been a foodie pretty much my whole life, but I will tell you, now my husband is a foodie too, and he didn't used to be. I mean, well, he's an Army guy, so he's kind of like, you know, whatever. Is it not an MRE or whatever they're called, you know, those meals that are like dried, you know, packaged or whatever. He'd be like, oh, I'm having one of those. I mean, he would eat anything. And now he's like kind of a little particular, and he likes his good food. So that's been a fun kind of like morph that I've seen him do. So that's cool that you like to kind of hang out and go out to dinner. Is there any particular golf course that you really like in San Antonio?
Yes, and they closed it down. My favorite course was the Palmer course at La Cantera.
Really?
So they had two courses out there, the Palmer course and then the resort course. The resort course
is still open. When did they close that down? I didn't know they closed
it. I think this has been about 5 years now.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And it was a little more challenging, a lot of blind shots, target golf, but beautiful. Right.
Were not enough people golfing on it? Was that the deal?
Or
what was
the deal? A company came in and bought out La Cantera, and then they closed that down. They were going to maybe turn it into apartments and housing. Then,
yep. Why did I not figure that out? Now I'm in real estate, so that should have been a first thought, you know? Yeah.
But the luxury brand of Hilton just purchased it and heard through the grapevine that they may be opening it back up, which would be great.
Very cool.
But that was always my favorite. But I like to play La Cantera. The quarry's real nice. Yeah. It's unique and different.
Sure.
I haven't played some of the private clubs that are out there.
Yeah.
Valor Creek's a good one. So plenty of good courses around here.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Very good. No, absolutely. Well, that is awesome. Thank you so much. And we are going to be starting the next segment of the podcast, which is where we're going to basically have you grab your paddle. Okay. The paddle that you have in front of you, it has one side that says feral and one side that says fabulous. And so I'm going to give you a kind of a series of words or concepts, and you're going to tell me whether you think it is feral or fabulous.
All right.
So, okay. First one on the list is crickets.
Crickets, like the bug?
Yep. Crickets. Whatever crickets means to you.
Feral. I don't see why anyone will call a cricket fabulous.
Well, I'll tell you why. I wasn't sure what you were going to say, because I've heard that you're a little bit of a practical joker. and that you have been known to, on a little down low, put some crickets into people's office or put the sound of crickets into people's offices, and they didn't know where the sound was coming from. And it took them a little bit of time to figure out that you were the mastermind behind the cricket sound in their offices. So if anybody's looking for an office that loves each other, that loves to play pranks on each other, that literally, like I said, they work hard together and they play hard, even harder together. This is definitely the office. So that's where I came up with the crickets, because I've heard you've got it quite an interesting relationship.
And that makes sense. If I could just touch on that real quick, that's what I love about our office, right? Yeah. You know, I have the sense of humor of a middle school boy still,
and I think that's why you get along with Dave so well.
Right, exactly. That's
for sure.
Exactly. And there may be something in his office that he hasn't even found yet that's been there for a couple days. But
that's scary, because his office is my office.
Yes, it is.
So I'm now part of the prank. Of course, I'm so oblivious to other people and life in general. I'm in my own kind of head and lane. So hopefully it's not anything dangerous. Because
no, not at all. Completely innocent. Maybe not.
Okay. But. Oh, well, I guess we'll find out eventually.
Yeah. But so. The best thing about the office, I'll just touch on that real quick, is it's funny how on a Tuesday I can go to prayer group in our mastermind room, right, at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
And then I can walk back to my desk, and on my desk is a little black box. And I open that little black box, and there's another little black box in there, like the size of a an engagement ring.
Yeah.
Thing, right? And I'm like, I wonder what this is. And on the top, it's written in cursive. It says, "Just for you." And when I open it up on a spring, a middle finger comes popping out, right? So if you knew who it came from, and I had an idea, because, you know, we joke around a lot here.
Sure.
And if most people, if I told you the name of who gave it to me, they would say, "No way in hell did that person do that."
Right.
Right. So that's the culture here.
Yeah.
What I love about the office is that I can go to prayer group at 9 a.m., come back to a middle finger on my desk. And and that's what I love about it, that everyone here is just, they can
super,
be their authentic self.
You were super excited to get the middle finger
absolutely.
Of who it was from. And, and such a cool just indicator, or like you said, of what the personality of the office is.
Right.
So I love that. I actually happen to know. Actually, Dave told me who it was from. So I love that.
That's
amazing.
And if you don't know that person, you're surprised. You think there's no way that person did that.
No, absolutely.
Right?
And I've got to admit, I was shocked, but I loved it. I loved it. And it's such a cool thing. So no, I totally get that. Okay.
Science fiction movies. Feral.
Okay. Okay. Not a fan.
Not a fan.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
Are you talking about like Star Wars and the Hobbit and all that?
Yeah.
No,
like I'm with you. Lost in Space. Well, this is, you're too young. You wouldn't remember Lost in Space. Will Penny, you know.
Anyway, no
clue. I'm sure that I can just see the planes flying over John's head. He's like, I have no clue what you're talking about, Will and Penny on Lost in Space. But anyway, every once in a while we get somebody as old as I am on the listening to the podcast, and they're like, oh, I remember that. But okay, pickles. What do you think about pickles?
Fabulous.
Okay,
I
cool.
I love pickles.
Awesome.
Yeah. I love pickle juice.
Yeah.
I think I may like it when I do a shot of Jameson first with a pickle back. That's delicious.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Very good. You know what? I had heard that you might like a shot or two of Jameson or anything with a pickle back would, as opposed to Nickelback. I think that would be a good chaser. So, but no, very cool. Bugs Bunny.
I like bugs.
Okay.
I'll give them a fabulous.
You're a fabulous on bugs. I'm the anti, you know, my husband always makes fun of me. I do not like cartoons for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. I cannot watch cartoons. I cannot listen to cartoons. I don't like the little figurines, and I can't handle it.
Not even Family Guy?
No, I'm missing the chip. I was born without a cartoon chip in my brain. So I don't know why, but I cannot do that. So anyway, but no, I appreciate that, because my husband loves cartoons. So another reason why you guys get along so well. The zoo.
I'm going to go feral, and it's kind of a two-prong approach, because I love animals.
Okay.
Right. But
so you kind of are like a fabulous feral, kind of like depending.
Right. Because I love animals. I like seeing all the exotic creatures that are out there that you normally wouldn't see.
Right.
But at the same time, I don't think they should be locked behind cages.
Understand. So it's, yeah, no, it's, I understand the yin to the yang of that, right, where you enjoy and appreciate the beauty of the animal, but mm-hmm. not sure that you're good with the captivity part of it. Right. So I totally understand that. Okay. Your last one, punk rock.
Punk rock. Can you give me an example?
Gosh, I mean, there's so many.
Like Green Day?
Here's the thing. I'm going to refer to my producers because those of you that don't know, one of the producers, Matt Stigliano, a.k.a. Lupus Thunder, he was in the band The Bloodhound Gang as the lead guitarist for many years. And so maybe you can give us an example of a punk rock band that might be somebody I could give him.
I mean, Green Day is definitely falls in the punk rock category. The Ramones, classic punk rock.
Okay.
I mean, depends on where you want to go with it.
Yeah.
So I think it's one of those feral and fabulous at the same time, right? Because you could be edgy, right? And for me, I love whatever gives good vibes.
Yeah.
Right. So there's a lot of punk rock that I would like.
Yeah.
I'm not good with band names, so I wouldn't know. Green Day is just the most popular one that popped in my head.
Yeah.
But whatever gives good vibes.
Yeah.
But for me, it's really island music, reggae. I like a little country, old school, 90s to early 2000s rap music. But whatever gives good vibes, I can get down to.
I'm with you. No, that doesn't surprise me that you like whatever gives you good vibes, because I feel like that's just kind of who you are. You're always giving good vibes, and so you like getting good vibes back in return.
Absolutely.
So, well, cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So excited that you guys could tune in to another episode of Feral and Fabulous, and we hope you just keep on keeping on. See you next time. Take care. Bye.